We're going to use an awful lot of Bibles in that aspect. We'll read more verses than that. We've read in the Bible study here in years, so I want you to get your Bibles all greased up now. And we're going to use a lot of verses. Our scripture we're going to read before the prayer and the special is in James, the book of James, chapter 1, starting with verse number 13. I'm going to teach tonight what I think is one of the most practical of all the lessons on justice. And I'm going to teach on the subject, stop the sin before it becomes evil. Stop the sin before it becomes evil. In James chapter 1, I start with verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. I love that. God cannot be tempted with evil. I want to teach, but I won't. Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. The word lust there is not exactly what we mean. We say our word lust. It means any appetite, any kind of appetite, like if you're hungry or any kind of appetite at all, not just sex. It says, verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So there sounds like there's a finishing of sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Father, it's a little harder to teach when we're using a lot of different scriptures and turning a lot. So I'm going to have your help tonight in a special way, and I want the people to listen in a special way, because I have an idea tonight. This Bible lesson may be as important as any we've had. Help us to learn from it what we ought to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Holy Father, teach us the Word of God tonight, and I pray our lives shall be more of what they ought to be because we've studied together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me remind you of what I've been teaching about sin and evil. You will not be able to disprove the statement I'm going to make. Sin and evil are not the same Greek words in the Bible, the Testament. They're not the same in our language either, but the word sin in the Bible always comes from some form of the word hamartia, and the word evil is not the same word as sin. Now, somebody's going to declare Brother Howell's a heretic because he says evil and sin are not the same thing. I want to make it very plain that evil is sin, but sin is not always evil. Now, that makes me sound like I'm saying sin sometimes is good. I don't mean that, because we're so programmed that we have to have certain things said a certain way. But I want to say it again, that sin in the Bible, in the New Testament, the word for sin and the word for evil are not the same words. Now, the word sin is anything that is missing the mark, not doing what you're supposed to do or doing what you're not supposed to do. Now, that's sin. And evil is sin with an intention of injuring somebody. It is sin with an intention of purpose of injuring. It is usually a joint endeavor, a conspiracy of some kind, but always evil in the New Testament deals with trying to injure somebody. I've said this again and again. Losing your temper is sin. And then, but trying to plot to hurt somebody because you don't like them is evil. Drinking is sin. Selling liquor is evil. And selling liquor is worse than drinking. Because when you do something with an intent to injure somebody, that sin then becomes worse sin and becomes evil, if you please. Now, don't forget that, because we're going to go into this tonight. Now, follow me carefully. The thing that I'm going to try to teach you how to do tonight, in fact, I'm going to teach you, if you'll learn it, is how to keep sin from becoming evil. There is a space of time there between a time when a person sins and a person does evil when he can stop himself and not do evil. I'm going to say five things tonight about stopping sin before it becomes evil. And then I'm going to say five more things on how to stop sin before it becomes evil. Now, let me be very plain. You cannot live above sin. The Bible said if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. All of us have sinned, and all of us do sin, and you cannot live above sin. But I'll make this very plain. You can live above evil. You can live above evil. Turn, please, to our very familiar passage in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse number, 4 and 5. Let's make it just number 4. Luke chapter 11. I can't give you the pages tonight because I'm not using my Scofield Bible. I studied this in my hotel room. I did not have my Scofield Bible, it's just my preaching Bible, so I can't give you the pages tonight. I want you to notice now in what we call the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, there are three different things there. Sin, temptation, and evil. Now, it says, forgive us our sins. Look at me now, this way, and listen carefully. It says, forgive us our sins. Now, that means we all sin. It didn't say, if we have sinned, forgive us. It says, forgive us our sins. But it says, deliver us from evil. All right? Now, if the evil and sin are the same thing, then why did he use evil, sin, and then evil? Because he's saying, forgive us of our sin. Now, sin is anything that's bad. But evil is worse sin than other sin that is not evil. Because evil is premeditated. I mean, all of a sudden, you're talking to somebody and he makes you mad and you punch him in the nose. Now, that's sin. But you get in an alley in a dark spot where he's going to walk by sometime, and you stand there and he walks by, and then you clobber him, and that's evil. Why? Because that is premeditated. I'll say it again. Nobody can live above sin. But anybody can, if he wants to, live above evil. All right? Five statements. One, sinful people can administer justice. Evil people cannot administer justice. A sinful man can get forgiveness for his sin. He's sorry he sinned. He can administer justice. But a man who is a part of a conspiracy, or a man who is bent to do evil, plans to do evil, prepares to do evil, plots to do evil, that person is so torn up by prejudice, he'll not be able to administer justice. So you cannot be just if you are evil. You can be just if you're sinful, but not if you're evil. All right, statement number two. Evil is, I think, sin when it is finished. James 1:5 says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Illustration. I had a preacher one time who followed me in the pastorate. I don't blame him for not liking me, because everybody after I'd gone, they told him, this is the way Brother House did it, and you're not doing the way Brother House did it. And he heard my name so much that it made him sick, because everybody wanted to do it like Brother House did it. That's because Brother House, as you know, always does it right. But anyway, the guy got upset with me. Now, I can understand that. It was sin. He shouldn't have done it. But the guy decided that he was going to destroy me. He decided that he was going to run me out of the ministry. He was going to destroy me. Now, wait a minute. But he got mad at me. That was what? Talk to me. That was what? Sin. But when he tried to destroy me, that was what? Evil. That was sin when it, that was his sin when it was finished. And that was evil. Now, the Bible said that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Bringeth forth death. All right? Now, I'll tell you what happened to the fellow. Now, I didn't die. He didn't die physically. But he had to leave the church. And the church has never been the same since. He had a good work going there. If the fellow had not let sin become evil,
and had stopped the sin before it became evil, he could have had one of the great churches in America. But now, wait a minute. It was the death of the church. It was the death of his marriage because they got a divorce. It was the death of his ministry because he left the ministry and is now teaching in a college in the Washington, D.C. area. Why? Because sin, when it becomes evil, bringeth forth death. The fact that you lose your temper sometimes, though you want to work on that, but that will not destroy. But when you become evil and plot to do wrong and plan to do wrong, that will kill. That will kill your joy. It'll kill your testimony. It'll kill your blessing. It'll kill your effectiveness. Why? Because sin has become evil. I said, number one, sinful people can administer justice. We have to. That's all that's down here. But evil men cannot be fair in justice. I said, number two, evil is sin when it is finished. Number three, sin, hear me now, sin left alone will eventually become evil. Sin left alone. That's why the minute that you realize that you sin, you ought to run to your prayer closet, get on your face, and beg God to forgive you and forsake it. You leave that sin alone, and you let that sin stay in. Go to your call. That's what Absalom did for 40 years. And that sin stays in there and stays in there, unconfessed. Sin left alone will eventually become evil. I said, number one, sinful people can administer justice. Evil people cannot administer justice. I said, number two, evil is sin when it is finished. I said, number three, sin left alone will eventually become evil. Number four, you have a period of time after you sin before you become evil. Let me say it again. You can sin, and there is a period of time. Okay, if you're mad at somebody, there's a period of time between the time you initially get mad and the time that you want to hurt. Now, it may be that all of a sudden, if you got mad at somebody, you'll punch them in the nose immediately. That's not evil. That's sin. But it's not evil because it's an impetuous thing. Evil is planned. Evil is plotted. But evil will come sooner or later if you don't get that sin forgiven, and God allows you to have a certain amount of time between the time you sin and the time that sin progresses to become evil sin. Now, I'm going to show you. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Everybody, 1 Samuel chapter number 18 and verse number 6. Now, you'll learn something tonight, but you're going to have to do it on purpose because I'm not going to say a bunch of funny things to keep your attention, but I'm going to teach you a heap of Bible in the next 30 minutes. 1 Kings 18, verse number 6. 1 Samuel, I'm sorry, either one. They're both good. 1 Samuel 18, verse number 6. This is the story, by the way, after David had killed Goliath. Who should have killed Goliath? Saul the king should have killed Goliath. Saul was head and shoulders above all the rest of the people. But Saul did not kill Goliath. The little shepherd boy David killed Goliath. And look at verse number 6. Now, don't leave me now. 1 Samuel 18, 6. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Samson, that the women came out of all cities in Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul. And it goes on to say in verse number 7, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Now, wait a minute. Look at me. Saul's the king, and the women are singing. Saul is slaying his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Oh, my soul. Look at verse 8. And Saul was very wroth. What's that? What? Mad, but what is it? Sin. Is it evil? Yes or no? No. What is it? Sin. All right. He's very wroth. All right. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Now look at verse number 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Now look at me. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that God made Saul be evil. That means there's a time, if you keep on sinning and keep on sinning and keep on sinning, that God will allow an evil spirit to come upon you, and you become evil. Now look at verse number 9. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. All right, look at me. When David killed Goliath, and the women saying Saul is slain his thousands and David's ten thousands, Saul was angry. What's that? Talk to me. What's that? Sin. And then Saul eyed David.
That little part.
What was that? That was the time he should have gotten his sin forgiven. And he kept on eyeing David and watching David. And then Saul said, I'll kill him. In fact, let me get back over here to it. And let's see. Look down to verse number 11, if you have your Bibles open still. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David, even the wall with it. All right, what's that? Huh? He said, I'm going to kill him. What's that? Evil. And he said, I've got a plan where I'll kill him. And so he plotted and planned to kill. That was evil. But now, and by the way, because Saul did that, Saul lost his kingdom, lost his power, lost everything, but Saul didn't have to do that. If Saul had corrected his sin before it became evil, he would not have lost everything. It's death to Saul, death to his kingdom, death to his power, death to, listen to me, death to the use of God. Why? Because Saul let sin become evil. I'm talking to folks right now. I'm talking to folks all over this house right now. You have some sin in your life. Now, one of these days, you're going to let the thing fester and fester and fester and fester until it become evil. Now, get it out in a hurry. Get out in the pee pad somewhere. Get in the prayer closet. Get out in the woods somewhere. Get alone with God. Look up to God and say, oh, God, forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of my sin. And I turn from my sin before it becomes evil. Because when it becomes evil, that sin, when it's finished, then that bringeth forth death. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. This is the story of Absalom we studied about the other night. Absalom was David's son. Look at verse 4. And Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Okay, that's what? That's what? Sin of what? Covetousness. He said, I'd like to rule the land. I'd like to have my father's throne. I'd like to have my father's scepter. I'd like to wear my father's crown. Now that's sin. Now listen, I'm not talking just about lust and adultery. I'm not talking about just hatred and murder. I'm talking about your sin too. Your sin will become evil, unconfessed, kept on committing it. He said, I want it, 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 and then it became evil. I'll what? Get it. And I'll connive a plan to get it. And sin became evil. Well, that's what he said, I want. Look at verse number 6. On this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, what's that? Hey, listen, what's that? Yeah, what was it when he coveted the kingdom? What was that? Now he steals the hearts of the men of Israel. And in verse 7 it says, and it came to pass after 40 years, then of course Absalom started rebellion after 40 years. But the sin became evil when Absalom made a way to steal the hearts of the people. Now I won't say it again. That little thing in your life, covetousness, that's no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Yeah, big deal. Envy is a big deal. Hatred's a big deal. Anger's a big deal. Why? Every single one of them, left unconfessed, left unforsaken, will become evil sooner or later. And if it becomes evil, it brings forth death. Don't you take this lightly. All right? So, Absalom. All right, now look at Psalm 51 and verse 4. Psalm 51 and verse 4. David has committed, I'll hold off on that. This is the David's prayer of confession. All right, before we read it, look at me. David stayed home one day and looked out and saw a beautiful woman, Bathsheba, And she was the Marilyn Monroe of her day. I mean that. She was the Liz Taylor. She was the beauty queen of their day. And he saw her bathing, and in a moment of lust and passion, he committed adultery with her. What is that? Sin. Then he said, I got to do something about this. She's pregnant. I'll call her husband Uriah from the battlefield. Uriah was on the battlefield. And David said, I'll call Uriah back from the battlefield, and I'll send him down to sleep at his house, and then folks will think it's his baby instead of mine. You understand what I'm saying? And Uriah said, I won't do it. He went down to his house, sat out in the front, would not go in. Boy, I love this fella. Uriah would not go in. And David said, why don't you go in? And he said, my buddies are on the battlefield. They're dodging spears. They're giving their lives for their country. You think I'm going to go in and enjoy the love of my wife when my buddies are dying on the battlefield? Now, David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, that was a passionate sin that overtook him. But when he decided to plot to kill Uriah, that was evil. Look at verse 4. David said, against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. Two things. David said, God, I have sinned, and I have done this evil. What was the sin? Tell me, with whom? Talk to me, with whom? And what was the evil with whom? Uriah. So David said, what happened was, he let this evil, this sin, become evil. Now, I don't know what sin you're committing tonight. I don't know what it is. Covetousness, envy, anger, malice, greed. I know what it is. But know one thing, whatever it is, if you let it lie there, it'll become evil one of these days, and there will be evil from that sin, and then it'll be sin when it's finished, and you bring forth death. Open your Bibles, please, to Genesis 37, verse 1. And verse number 1. This is the story of Joseph and his brothers. I'm sorry to see the page, but I don't know what's going to be on the Bible. Genesis 37, 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was stranger, in the land of Canaan. He lists the generations then. Now in verse 3. Now Israel, that's Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. What's that? What? A sin of what? Hatred. All right. Now, we've gone through several different sins here. Saul, jealousy became evil. Absalom, greed became evil. David, lust became evil. And now, Joseph's brothers, envy and hatred. Look at verse number 4 again. When his brethren saw him, saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. All right, that's what? That's what? Sin. Joseph, confess it. Joseph, forsake it now. Joseph, don't let it lie there. But he did. They did. I'm sorry, not Joseph, but his brothers. And Joseph, verse 5, dreamed the dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. What was it? Sin getting bigger. And your sin, if you keep committing it, won't stay the same size. So it hated him even the more. Look at verse number 6. And his brethren said unto him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more. Look down to verse number 11. And his brethren envied him. Now here's the sin of envy. Now, okay, follow me carefully. But let's look down to verse number 20. His brother said, come now, therefore, and let us slay him. What's that? What? Okay, when they hated him, what was it? And finally, they said, let's slay him, and they took him down to kill him. Thousands of folks wanted to buy him. They sold him instead, but they plotted, and they planned, and sin became what? All right? Now, between the time, and that's where you are right now, most of you, between the time they hated him and plotted to get rid of him, They had ample time to confess their sin before it became evil. Ladies and gentlemen, it's almost impossible to stop doing something once it becomes evil. And so you have envy, time to get forgiveness, became evil. You have hatred, time to get forgiveness, became evil. You have anger, time to get forgiveness, became evil. You have jealousy, time to get forgiveness, it became evil. All right, I said number one, sinful people can administer justice. Evil people cannot administer justice. I said number two, evil is sin when it is finished. I said number three, sin left alone will eventually become evil. I said number four, you have a period of time between sinning and becoming evil to stop it. Number five, justice and evil are alike in one respect in that they're both deliberate. Justice and evil. True justice is deliberate. You'll study it. What's right? I've got to do what's right. I've got to be fair. I've got to be honest and right. I've got to be just. And true evil is the same way. Evil is sin when you say, I am going to do it and plan it. Student at Howard Anderson College complains. That's what? Sin. But then plots a way to run off. What's that? Evil. Young couple at Howard Anderson College, in a moment of passion, kiss each other. What's that? Fun. No, I didn't mean that. I meant the sin. That's sin. Okay? So then they decide a way to run off and get married. What's that? That's evil. You see? So I'm simply saying that you have a period of time to stop it, but justice and evil are both deliberate. All right? I said this before, but I said it again. You can live above evil. You cannot stop sin. As Dwight Moody or Billy Sunday used to say, you cannot keep a bird from landing on the top of your head, but you can keep him from building a nest up there. And between the time that bird lands on the top of your head and the time that nest is built, it goes from sin to being evil. Turn, please, to... Well, okay, let me just quote for you the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. Didn't say deliver us from sin, did it? Said forgive us our sins. But deliver us from evil. What he's saying is, Lord, I know I have to sin, don't want to. In any given case, I can have victory over sin, but I'm going to stumble sometime. But I'm not going to wallow when I stumble. The stumbling is sin, the wallowing is evil. Now then, turn to Psalm 121, verse 7. Psalm 121, verse 7. I want you to read that out loud with me, please. Psalm 121 and verse 7. Ready? Out loud. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. That does not say the Lord shall preserve thee from all sin. You do not have it within your power never to do something wrong. But you do have it within your power delivered from evil. Turn, please, to John 17, 15. John 17, 15. Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what's the real Lord's Prayer, by the way? John 17, 15. Read that out loud, please. 17:15. Ready? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Jesus said to the Father, keep my people from evil. Now, he knew that there's no way that we could be kept from sin because we're going to make mistakes. Passionate, quick, impetuous, action brings sin sometimes. But that's not what we're talking about here. You don't have to let sin lie dormant in your life until you plan to do it and plot to do it. Some of you people living unholy lives with the opposite sex, you stumbled. That's sin.
And God's name, don't plan something. Don't plan to destroy your marriage. Don't plan to destroy your home. That's evil. You can be forgiven for that sin. You can be forgiven for evil too. But the tragedy is the time you get forgiven for evil, you've hurt people. Look, please, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Read it with me, please. Ready? But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Instead, keep you from sin. He'll keep you from evil. Now listen to me. I'm talking to folks tonight that don't like people. I'm talking to folks tonight. You're trying to turn other people against somebody you don't like. Let me tell you what it is. It's a girl who doesn't like another girl who wants to turn the other dorm girls against the girl she doesn't like. That's evil. That's evil. it's a lady. In a neighborhood who doesn't like some lady in the neighborhood who tries to get the other ladies in the neighborhood not to like that person. In fact, the truth is, all gossip comes from an evil heart. It is a plotted, you pick up telephone, you don't have to dial it. When you dial that telephone to tell some gossip or spread something that's wrong, then that is a planned thing, and you know it's going to hurt somebody, and that's evil. All right? Now, I'm going to give you five different things to do to keep from doing evil. Number one, ask God to give you His love. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. It's talking about love. Verse 5. Love doth not behave itself. Let's read that verse 5. Ready? Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Hold it. Being provoked is what? What? Sin. Now then, thinketh no evil. All right? Now, love does not think evil. Is that right? Love doesn't plot. Now, look. Look, John, I could love you and get mad at you for a minute. Have you ever gotten mad at Elaine? He said, didn't think so. What's that? Sin. Lying. That's sin. Has John ever gotten mad at you? Have you ever gotten mad at him? All right. Now, what's that? Sin. Dirty, wealthy, wicked, stinking, rotten, putrid, sorry, lying. And God's going to judge you for it. So I guess then you can love somebody and sin against them, right? But you can't love somebody and plot against them. You ever sat down and said, walk, I'll destroy that woman's last thing I do. You probably will, but it's not on purpose. I'll get her. It's the last thing I do on the face of this earth. Now, is that love? No. So can a person love and sin? Can he love and do evil? Because love thinketh no evil. Didn't say love thinketh no sin. Truth is, sin, when it started, is usually not fought. It's usually passionate. But when it's finished, it's plotted, it's planned. All right, now, I don't know about you, but I want to keep from evil. I don't want to sin either. But I know I'm going to have to sin sometime because I'm weak and I got the world, the flesh, and the devil to contend with. I know I cannot live above sin. But what I want to do is before my sin becomes evil, I want to stop it. Don't you? So the first thing is, ask God to give you His love. Because if you have His love, you'll not think evil. Didn't say love sometimes doesn't think evil. It says love thinketh no evil. Love thinketh not any evil. I love this man on the coast. I love him.
Now, there's been a time or two
when I've spoken crossly to him.
I think I mean that probably a time or two, and that's all,
in these 25 years we worked together.
Maybe a time or two, I've spoken crossly. Now, that's what?
That's sin. But never one time have I said, I'm going to hurt that guy, and I'll get him back. Why? Because I love him.
Same thing's true with all these men on the platform. I'm sure that in every case, there have been times when we sinned against each other, but there's never been a time when any one of these men on this platform has been the object of my evil. Because not one time have I ever wanted to hurt one of these men. Now, it may be they disappoint me sometime. I'll say, good night, man. Roy, I said this to Roy. Roy, good night. You know better than that. And I shouldn't have talked that harshly to him. I should have punched him right in the nose and got it over with. But that's sin. But if ever I have said, that rascal's not doing his job, and that rascal's not learning his job, I'll do what I'll do, I'll get that guy, that's evil. And love thinketh no evil. You ask God every day of your life, three things top my prayer list: love, wisdom, and power. If the love of Christ can dwell in my heart, I may sin, but I won't do evil. So number one, you know, if you want to be able to get your sin forgiven before it becomes evil, then ask God to give you his love. Number two, pray. Pray. The Lord's Prayer said, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. When you sinned, as soon as you know you sinned, you say, God, don't let this get in my heart. Don't let this become sin when it's finished. Don't let this sin become evil. Forgive me of my sin and keep me from plotting and being bitter and wanting to hurt somebody.
I mean this tonight. I mean what I'm saying. I have a lot of people in this world that hate me and would love to destroy me, and some are trying to. But there is not one person in this world tonight that I would give 2 seconds if I had the whereabouts to hurt them. I would not do it. Why? Tell you why? Because I love. The love of Christ is in me. I don't mean just being saved. I mean I ask God every day to give me the love of Christ in my heart. Because of that, I don't plot against anybody. I don't plan to try to hurt somebody, and because I have love, and love thinketh no evil. And also, I pray every day, dear God, deliver me from evil. Don't let my sin germinate into evil. Number three, don't be around evil people. Turn to Psalm 140 and verse 1. I've got about 5 minutes left, so I want you to help me by listening carefully. Psalm 140 and verse 1. All right. Read that one verse out loud. Ready? Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. That's enough. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Now you listen to me. You are not going to run. You sit over the house. I'm going to be very frank with you right now. If somebody is plotting to hurt Bob O'Flair, is that sin or evil? And you're not supposed to run with him. What's that? If you're a priest, you're not supposed to preach for him. I'm supposed to have him preach for you. Bible says, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. All right? Look at Proverbs 2:12. Proverbs 2:12. Read it out loud. Ready? To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Stop right there. Well, let's don't stop right there. From the man that speaketh forward things. Here it is, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. If a man is, listen, if he's evil, now I'm not saying a sinner. That's one reason why these fellows at the rescue mission over here,
These aren't evil men. These are sinful men. These men have been hurting themselves. The guys that sold the liquor to them, they're the evil men. These aren't evil men. But an evil man is somebody who is trying to hurt somebody else. Hatred has become a plot or a plan. And you say, well, Brother House, this guy trying to hurt Brother O'Clair. He's trying to hurt him. I'm not going to take sides. Oh, yes, you are. You're going to either obey God or disobey God. God says, deliver you from the evil man. You're not supposed to run with him. You're not supposed to go to his party he throws. You're not supposed to go to his house to eat with him. You're not supposed to take him out to eat with you. When he wants to talk to you about trying to hurt Brother O'Clair, you're not supposed to talk to him. And that means anybody who's trying to hurt Brother O'Clair, or Brother Jeff, or Brother Roy, or Brother Keith, or Brother Bordway, or Brother Hiles, or Brother anybody, he's an evil man. And God says, go down, evil people. I can tell you folks in this church, they walked up to me and said, Brother, I love you like I love my own heart. Brother Hiles, I'd never turn on you. But Brother Hiles, there's some folks that don't like you that are trying to hurt you that are my friends. And it's okay if I don't choose. I never tell them to choose. But I know one thing. I know eventually they'll leave. God's got enough sense to tell you not to hang around evil people. You're not supposed to run with people trying to hurt somebody. I don't care who the somebody is. You're not supposed to run with evil people. All right, look, if you would please, at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Read that verse out. Read verse 14 through 16 with me, please. Ready? Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Let's stop there. Go not in the way of what? Which means not supposed to take a trip with evil men. Not supposed to go the same way they're going with evil people. All right, read verse 15. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. How much plainer could it be? And the Lord said, don't go in the same way with the evil man. He said, if you wonder what I mean? I mean avoid it. I mean pass not by it. I mean turn from it and pass away. He said, if you're not with him, avoid being with him. If you haven't passed by him yet, don't pass by him. If you already are with him, turn from him and walk away. Look at verse number 16. Read it. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Evil men. What are they trying to do? Do mischief to people. If there's somebody in Howells Anderson College that's trying to hurt somebody else in Howells Anderson College, you're not supposed to eat the same lunch table with them. You're not supposed to go to the same party with them. You're not supposed to sit by them on the bus at the college activity. You're not supposed to run or be with or be near evil men, people trying to hurt somebody, but you're supposed to run away from them. And if you're with them, if you're not with them, avoid them, don't go with them, and don't stay with them. If you are, run. That's what it says. That's evil. It doesn't say that about sinful men. Poor fellow stumbles. His heart's broken, takes a drink of liquor. He's been reared all his life with liquor in his daddy gave it to him when he was three or four or five years old, and he's had a hard time all his life, and he's trying to quit, and all of a sudden he goes to the rescue mission. Maybe he hadn't had a drink for a year. All of a sudden he gets weak. That gets a bad letter from home, and he gets weak and goes out and takes a drink. My Bible said, go lift that man up. But there's not one place in all the Bible that says you're supposed to lift up an evil man. Run from him. Run from him. Not supposed to lift him up. Well, Brother House, I believe if I can get with that crowd, I can help them. But you're not going to help anybody going against the Word of God. The Bible says don't run with the evil crowd. I said, if you want to stop sin before it becomes evil, number one, ask God to give you his love, because love thinketh no evil. Number two, pray. The Lord's Prayer delivers me. Number three, don't be around evil people. Right this minute, one of my dearest friends is having a church split. Right this minute. I called his name. Many of you know him. Because a former staff member, a dirty Benedict Arnold turncoat, resigned the church, turned on the preacher, has turned the deacons on the preacher, and the deacons wouldn't have turned on the preacher if he hadn't gotten around this turncoat. And tonight he's facing his ministry, and the fellow is a man who's not as old as I am, but he's getting up older, and he has grown children, and he's facing the senior years of his life, and one evil man, whom others have tried to help, have been injured by him, and have become evil themselves. Number four, run with a crowd that is not evil. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Oh, I love this verse, these verses. Verses 12 and 13. Look at them carefully. I know the hour is a little late, but we're just about finished. But look at these carefully. We're going to have a business meeting. We're not going to have it tonight. And we're going to go home in just a minute. Look at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. What he's saying is, you take heed all the time. Don't let sin become evil. I look on. In departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What does it say? It says exhort one another daily, and that's one way to keep from getting evil. It means talk to people who are not evil. You call someone on the telephone, they call you and want to say, well, I hurt somebody. What are you supposed to do? What, dummy? There's a little thing on that thing. You push your thumb on it or put the telephone down on it, it'll turn the thing off. And as soon as you hang up from them, call some good, godly person that's trying to live right and help people instead of hurting people and talk to them. And the Bible said, exhort each other. So run with the crowd that is not evil. That's just, so how do you stop sin before it becomes evil? Ask God to give you his love. You pray. You don't be around evil people. And you run with the crowd that is not evil. And number five, ask a friend to exhort you when they see sin lingering. Find some good friend in whom you have confidence. And just tell them. Now, by the way, don't you volunteer to be that friend, everybody in the church. I saw it coming. You wait till you ask. But you find some good friend and you enter into a covenant with them that the two of you, if they see sin lingering, that they will exhort you lovingly and kindly and warn you before the sin becomes evil. Any pastor here, we talk about it all across the country, we pastors do. You walk out some Sunday morning, you look out, and there he sits. He's been sitting in that same place for years, but there's a different look on his face. You've seen it. You've seen folks in the choir, in the history of our church. You've seen that face is different. It's not the face of a sinful man, it's the face of an evil man. Pastors can spot them. And when you see that face, they may as well go ahead and leave the church. Because 99 out of 100 never turn back. And 99 out of 100 get others to have the same look on their faces eventually also. And they're the losers. I double dog dare you. To check the future of evil people. And see how they turn out. I'm not trying to keep you from being evil tonight because I want you not to hurt me. Because you'll never hurt anybody that you try to hurt as much as you hurt yourself. You will self-destruct. You will destroy yourself. And that's why for these 43 years of pastoring churches, I've seen those faces. The people I never thought would look like that, but I can see them. That stare. Don't smile. Something funny is said. You can spot them. Preachers know where they are. But there's one reason why for 43 years of pastoring, I've never plotted to try to hurt them back. You know why? Because I don't want to be evil. I know sometimes. I hate to even tell this story again. 30 years ago, just about this time of the year, we had fought our battle here at First Baptist Church. We'd won it. Another crowd had left. Oh, I thought it was over. One night, walking down the alley, a man walked up to me and said, "You think I'm through fighting you? You're mistaken. I was coming to preach that night." He walked beside me like Shimei did beside David. He didn't throw any stones, except he hurled some barbs that were stony, and said, "You think I'm through?" And there in that alley for a year, I had fought, and I had fought, and I had fought, and I had tried to stay sweet. I had tried to stay kind. You folks over here know I did stay kind. But that night I cracked. And I walked behind this pulpit, and I preached a whole sermon to that one man. A whole sermon. Brother, everybody in the house knew I was preaching to him. Now, wait a minute. That was sin. That was sin. What did I do? The next Wednesday night, I stood before my people and apologized. And I said, "Folks, last Sunday night, I did something wrong. I was provoked to do it. I did something wrong. But, brother, I got it out before it became evil. And I resolved that that man was going to become my friend. And before he died, he and I became good friends. But if I had not stopped that sin and confessed that sin before it became evil, I would have rendered evil for evil. Ladies and gentlemen, it's your life. If you want to live it bitter, it's up to you. And you will live it bitter if you don't stop that sin before it becomes evil. You've heard sermons 10,000 times better than this one. And you've heard me preach better than I've preached tonight, and teach. You heard me teach better than you've heard me teach better than I taught tonight. You heard me teach better than I'm touched tonight. You have. But you never in your life heard anything that will help you any more than what you've heard tonight. If when you sin and you cannot keep from it because that's a passionate thing. Like when I got mad, went to the book and met that guy, having fun, that was a passionate thing. That was sin. It was wrong. It's bad. But it wasn't evil. 3 nights later, I apologized to the people and got it out. And never did try to start a campaign to hurt that man. Just maybe the little thing I used to say is going off the broadcast. Is what I'm trying to say tonight. Be good to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. And goodbye from the pastor's study. Shall we stand, please?